is Peter Fogliati, Calvary Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, coming at you digitally. Again, this Sunday, I'm looking forward to the time when I can see you all face to face. Congregation full, God's people, gathering together. As I said previously, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This too shall pass, the trouble that we're having. It is not the end of the world. It is not announcing the end is coming in the very near future. Just as creation was a miracle of God, God spoke and all things were created. In six ordinary days, he set the pattern for life until he returns. That's the way we live, right? We live 24-hour days, we live 168-hour weeks, we live through months, we live through 365 days of the year, and it happens the way God had laid it out in time in Genesis. But creation itself was and is a miracle. In fact, I would like to remind us that we are, in a sense of speaking, living every single day of our lives in a miracle, for creation, from nothing, by God, by His spoken word, creating all things, time and space, was a miracle. Likewise, the end of time and space, as we see it today, as we perceive it today and know it, is going to be a miracle as well. Jesus is going to return on the clouds of glory. He's going to recreate all things for His glory and our good. That is going to be a miracle. So this coronavirus is not the end. It is a troubling time, challenging time, one we have to get through, but God will get us through in His time. I'd like to open up with two scriptures and a brief prayer. Jesus said in the Gospel of John to His disciples, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends." And Paul to the Philippians writes, "Be careful," some translations translate that word careful, anxious, "for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let us pray. First, in the words of the psalmist, Psalm 8, we begin, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength, because of thine enemies that thou mightst still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of the fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. These are our words as well. For thou art excellent, thou art majestic, thou art wonderful. All the time, thou dost not change. We may change. We may go through struggles and strikes and hard times, but Lord, the times are in your hands, and you are steady, and you are faithful, you are always good. And so we look up to you now, declaring that you are excellent, your name is excellent, and we want to lift up that name in the name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, in the power, by the grace operational in us, through the Holy Spirit. And we want to give you the praise and thanks today. We ask thee, Father, that thou would look down from heaven and bless. Bless thy people. Bless thy church. Ready her to gather together on the Lord's Day once again in the weeks ahead. We're looking forward to that, Lord, very much so. We therefore pray that thou would continue to grant to our president and leaders wisdom beyond themselves, beyond their ability, that they may see clearly what next to do, even see that this virus is diminishing, so that we can get back to some normality in a short time. We are asking, Lord, that thou would watch over your people, and that instill in each one of us a desire, a strong desire, to gather together with some others as well, that thou art gaining the attention of others who have not yet bowed the knee to Jesus, but perhaps through this struggle, through this difficulty, are looking up and crying out and asking for help and healing to come their way. Bring it their way, Lord. Yes, in their body, but it was of greater importance, bring it to their soul. And may they desire, have a strong desire, to gather together with us on the Lord's Day, when we are able, and sing the praises of Zion. Pray the prayers according to your word, and worship thee in spirit and in truth. These things we say, these things we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Savior. Amen. My text today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Text is actually verse 7, but I'm going to read the first 7 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the word of God. So let us be attentive to hearing. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase. May God bless the reading of his sacred word to us. Once again, Lord, we ask that you would bless your people through the word heard. Open our hearts and minds to hear. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As I said, verse 7 is my text, so then neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase. From which I gathered my title, or theme of the message, which is man is nothing, God is everything. Clearly, that's what Paul is indicating in verse 7. People were arguing, I'm a follower of Paul. Well, I'm a follower of Apollos. Paul saved me. Apollos saved me. And Paul is telling the Corinthians, you're acting like children. You're acting like you're not saved. Because Paul didn't save you. Apollos didn't save you. They were used of God, but they're not the ones that saved you. The farmer. Well, clearly Paul is taking an image from farming, planting, and watering. The farmer is Paul, and he likens his work to planting. His co-laborer is Apollos, who's doing the watering. So they're both considered spiritual farmers. And Paul, in the midst of his farming, in the midst of his preaching and shepherding of God's flock, has come to the conclusion that he and other human spiritual farmers are nothing. That God is everything. He plants, Apollos waters, others might fertilize or weed. But God alone gives the increase. And therefore, God alone should be given the thanks and praise. Especially in the salvation of sinners. But in all of life. So I want to speak on three things. The fundamental distinction here Paul is making, that we must keep in mind. Then my second point will be the appropriate mindset, the appropriate response, having the appropriate mindset. And then the third place, the anticipation of glory, when all things will be ended here. And the church will be triumphant, the church triumphant. I had the opportunity this past week, and particularly on Sunday last, to to listen to a number of preachers and teachers, mainly from the television, also YouTube. And one preacher I listened to, which I had in the past as well, was Billy Graham. They were doing some rerun of a crusade he had back in the 70s. And of course, he's well-spoken. He delivered a fundamental gospel message that was right on. And I enjoyed it. And the reason why I bring this out is because if Paul can say of himself and Apollos, we or I am nothing, God is everything. Well, Billy Graham, as great as he was, is nothing as well. And I'm sure he would agree. In fact, during the course of that sermon, he said, I, Billy Graham, am a sinner. And I need a Savior. Or all bets are off. Now, he didn't say all bets are off, but that's what he meant, for sure. Just like you, he said, I too am a sinner. And I am saved by Jesus Christ, the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And yet we can say of him, I can say of myself, and I can say of all preachers and teachers and elders and parents, you're nothing. God is everything. Why? Because he gives the increase. It's he that brings about life and the ability to live, and certainly brings salvation. It's true in the natural realm. When farmers plant seed in the soil, God alone gives life. He created the seed. He created the seed with the ability to sprout and bring forth life. Man can't do that. He never could and never will be able to do that. Only God brings life to this world. Certainly this is true in the spiritual field, where preachers and elders and teachers and parents all labor. We may say as farmers, because that's the analogy here given. Paul calls himself a spiritual farmer, Apollos as well. We're all farmers from a spiritual point of view. And we're all dead in trespass and sin, as the apostle says in another place, in Ephesians. And dead things, one characteristic of dead things, is they're dead. They're not alive. Can't move a muscle. Can't do anything. From a spiritual point of view, all sinners, and every one of us is a sinner, each one of us is a sinner, we all are dead in trespasses. And it's God that brings us to life. It's God that, the Father, that brought forth the Son. The Son took on flesh and made atonement for us. And he annulled the condemnation of death that is ours, that was ours. And he gave life to his chosen people. God gives his Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, it's a good thing that I leave, because if I didn't, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit would not come. But when I leave, I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm going to give you my Spirit. You know what that Spirit does? He abides within us. And the first thing he does when he comes to a person, man, woman, boy, girl, he plants the seeds of faith and repentance. And he tells us as preachers and teachers and elders and parents to water that seed with the word, and it will sprout life, faith, and repentance, and it will grow. Faith will grow, and repentance as well. And that's all by the power of God. It's by the presence of the Holy Spirit living and abiding within us. It's called regeneration when he plants those seeds of faith and repentance. They're graces. They're called graces. Grace seeds, if you will. God does that for every one of his children. And all this is what Paul is not hinting at, but coming straight out and saying, man is nothing. Man can't do this. There is no possibility that man can work for his salvation because he's a sinner and his works can never be meritorious apart from the grace of God. They're not perfect works and they never will be perfect works. He can't will his salvation. It's not of him that runs or him that wills, but of God that shows mercy. So free will is out of the picture. We have free will, but we don't have the will to believe without God's Spirit in us. It's just not there. We have a will, obviously, and we make choices all the time. But they're sinful choices. They're godless choices. Our will is also dead. When it says, you are dead in trespasses, it means you, body and soul, everything about you. It's not something alive, like your will. You have a will to live, but from a natural point of view. Your will to live eternally with God in Christ comes from the Holy Spirit living and abiding in you. Man cannot do this. Man is nothing. That's what it means by nothing. Obviously, man has gifts and abilities and powers, if you will, and a host of things. But God gave them all to us in the natural realm. And God gives us in the spiritual realm a will to live for him. A desire to be Christ-like. The ability to believe the word, truly trust in Jesus Christ, and believe him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, man plans, and he plans, and he works, and he worries, but to no avail if God does not bring the increase. Likewise, parents, they love, they lead, they instruct, they encourage. But God must save the child. And that is the main distinction that Paul, ultimately God, would have us keep in mind. That man is nothing. God is everything. And farmers, especially spiritual farmers, as we are, if we do not keep that distinction in mind, then we're delusional. We're simply living in our own world. brings us to consider an appropriate mindset, an appropriate response. You see, if we have the truth living and abiding within us, the power of the Spirit in us, God within, working in us, the will and do of His good pleasure, that's exactly what happens. We're going to want to do the things that God would have us do. In other words, sanctification will begin to happen, and we'll begin to grow in holiness and godliness. And live as the people of God should live. Now, one writer points out that there are three areas in particular that we want to consider as the appropriate response to the salvation that is in us, that God works in us. Believing that man is nothing and God is everything. Well, the appropriate response to that truth is not, well, that's offensive. I don't want to hear that I'm nothing. Isn't that negative? Isn't that a put down? No, it's a right placement, if you will. It's giving credit where credit is due. And it's turning your focus and attention on something that is not only, well, it's true, 100% true, but what really matters. And you see, at a time like this, time that we're going through here in our culture, and this disease that's happening, as I pointed out last time, our focus should be on God. Our focus should be on things above where Christ is and not on things of the earth. That doesn't mean we walk with our heads in the cloud, our head in the cloud there, but it means that our attention and our focus is on God every single moment of every single day, as much as possible anyway. And that's what Paul is saying here. Our attention needs to be on God because man, he's not the giver of life. He's not the giver of physical life, and he's not the giver of spiritual life. No amount of labor, no amount of willpower can make something dead alive. It has to take another, and that other is God. So our attention needs to be there. Our focus needs to be on this truth that God is everything. God is my all in all. And the first thing that this commentator was pointing out is that we need to, at all times, ponder anew what God, what the Almighty is, the song. Ponder anew what the Almighty can and will do, and not on what you can't do. What are farmers and plants? What are our sermons? What is our counsel? What are all our efforts without the God who gives increase? They're nothing, right? They land flat on the floor. They die. God must give the increase. And surely, He must give the increase when it comes to witnessing and teaching and preaching. Not only to His people that we know, but to those who we have yet to come to know. And especially our little ones, right? Our children that we have a responsibility to train and nurture in the Lord. But we need to ponder afresh the mysterious operation of the Holy Spirit who gives life, who sort of blows in like the wind blows light, liberty to the soul. And admittedly, that is deep. There is a mystery involved in this. The Spirit works when and where He wills. Not according to our plan and our will, but according to His. And of course, we can't see Him. We can't counsel Him. We can't instruct God. We can't tell God, who knows everything, anything. When we ponder afresh the magnificence of the Lord and the ability that He has to bring to life that which is dead, it truly is beyond our comprehension. And what it produces then, as we ponder these things, is an adoration and a delight. Coming to know Him. God has saved me. God has brought me to life. God is watching over me. God sends His angel to watch over us, to protect us, to keep us going. People, we're going to keep going. Because God is watching over us. Cast your care. If you're anxious, if you're careful for things, with thanksgiving, bring it to the Lord. He works magnificently through prayer, which brings us to the other thing. Not only do we ponder afresh, we pray. Pray in every detail of life. Let nothing go by without prayer. And we do this because we are in desperate need for God to intervene in our lives and to help us along in this life to the next. And certainly to bring salvation to the people that we know and love and care about, and sanctification to ourselves and others as well, to grow. So we pray and we ask Him for that grace and continued grace and the pouring out of grace into our lives and into the lives of others, that we may grow thereby. And yes, we may also pray for our daily needs, like give us this day our daily bread. Protect us and keep us healthy and strong. Help us to get through this virus time, this time of upheaval in our nation and throughout the world. But the best way to get through it, dear people, is to pray to God, to focus your attention on Him and talk to Him. You know, nothing happens in the kingdom of God, it is said. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God without prayer. Someone is praying somewhere. And not only that, I go further and say nothing happens in this world without prayer. Christians are always praying for this, that, and the other thing. Christians are praying for our president and for our leaders and for our health and for our doctors, all that. We're praying. God is hearing it. And He's going to respond. He's already responding. Open your eyes. The greatest response would be that He brings salvation into your life over this. That you realize that, I am nothing. That He is everything. To God goes the glory. And then, when we pray, after we pray, and we ponder, we pray, we plow. Three P's there. Ponder, pray, plow. And plow just means, in this context, in the context of this message, we labor.
Now, labor is put on hold a bit. That's true for now. That's okay. But God does want us to work. He does want us to labor. He wants us to labor for Him in all things, but especially in the Word. He wants us to train our children as parents. He wants us to train our children in the Lord. He wants us to read the Scriptures, to rehearse them, to know what they truly mean, to apply them to our lives and our daily labor and our daily walk. He wants the churches, the people, the elders, the deacons, the elders, the ministers, all to labor in the Word while it is day. For the night is coming when no one will be able to labor. And so, if this is not the end of the world, and dear people, it's not the end of the world. And I don't mean to make light of what's going on in the world. It's serious. And people are saying, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. Well, that's man's way of encouraging himself and others. No. We are definitely going to get through this because God wants us to work. He wants us to labor, especially the church, with the Word of God and bringing people into the church and into the kingdom of God. So this is definitely not the end of the world. It's just, well, it's a time when we need to be careful. Relax a little bit, rest, stay safe. But get ready, for we will labor again. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. And the seventh is the Holy Sabbath. And in it and on it, you're not to. But 6 days, He's made it that way, and it's going to return that way. And we're praying that the sooner the better. But Lord, according to your will, because you're going to bring it about. You're going to turn things around in your time. Man thinks that he's going to be successful in doing this and that. And, you know, man should be responsible in doing things, but ultimately, the end of time has not come. God is going to return things to normal so that we can labor and do all our work, and especially the work of the gospel. In the presence of God's people in the church. We can't worship this way, digitally. That's not worship. The gathering of the saints, the praises, the singing of the songs of Zion, the prayers of God's people, the interaction between us and God, God present where two or three are gathered together. That's real worship. Digitally, we can help one another, we can encourage, we can do this to the best of our ability, but God wants us to gather together for worship, and that is going to happen again. And we pray sooner rather than later. And so, we need to realize, just as God gives farmers all the tools necessary to be successful, He gives them the plants, the ability to plow and then to plant the plants or the seed. He gives the seed the ability to grow through being watered, fertilized, sunshine and rain, proper quantities, balance. And it does, it sprouts, it grows. Likewise, He's given us all that we need as Christians to make life, eternal life, happen. He's given us His Word and His Spirit. And He works through His Word to water the seed that the plant that is planted by the Holy Spirit in the heart and mind of His elect and chosen people. And it grows. It sprouts. Which brings us to the last point, which is our anticipation. And that's just it. God said the harvest is plentiful as laborers go out into the harvest. You're going to have success. I've given you all the tools necessary. And I've given you the command to go and labor, to do what you have to do, to preach, to teach, to train. And you will have success. There will be people that come to Christ. For today is still the day of salvation. And so we can anticipate that God is still saving a people for Himself who are not yet saved, or it's not been revealed to us at this age, but will become saved through our efforts, through our work, through our labor. The problem is that we need to get away from the numbers game. We need to get away from man's way of thinking. We need to think as God. Look, in every time since the fall, in every time, who are the saved? The saved were always and only a remnant, piece of humanity, chosen according to the election of grace. At no time will the preponderance of the earth say. Right? Remember Noah? All those people were growing up until the time of Noah when finally the ark was built and they went in, eight souls went into the ark with the animals. There are millions of people alive who are all washed away. It's always been that way in every age. So when we think of God sending reformation into our churches, revival into our communities, there will be people saved. But let's not go according to man's numbers. Oh, wow, the more the merrier kind of thing. But let's think of it the way Jesus pointed out. That what if you should gain the whole world and lose your soul? See, a soul, and a saved soul, is priceless. The wealth of the entire world cannot buy one single soul entrance into heaven. All the good works of men, of churches, of religious, all their good works cannot save a single soul. It's all by grace, right? God uses us to promote that grace. And He works with us to will and do of His good pleasure. And so if He brings another 5, 10, 15, 20 people into this church, oh my, what a lively thing that is. He doesn't have to bring 2,000 and make this a mega church of some sort. He could do that. He has done it to some places in some places. But that's not necessarily a prescription for everywhere. God is the Lord of the harvest. So we can anticipate a harvest according to His will and the light in that. And then someday, dear people, someday, there'll be a time when all work here below will be done. All the rocks cleared out of the field, the weeds killed, the diseases gone, distant memories, not even in the memory. All doubt.
doubts and fears about the field in which we labor shall be laid to rest. And that will be the day, the final day, the final harvest time, when God shall come and bring in the sheaves. Bring in the sheaves. We have a glorious future ahead of us. Now, we ponder, we pray, we plow. God will give us the increase. He always does. And someday, we're going to rejoice in glory before the presence of Jesus Christ, our all in all, the Lord of the harvest, and give Him all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. As we should be doing now, we certainly will be doing then. It's only going to get better. May God bless each and every one of you with ears to hear and eyes to perceive the good things that God has in store for us. In this world, yes, but certainly in the world to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way now. Again, we ask for your protection, that thou would keep us healthy and strong and ready and raring to go, to gather together and to worship in spirit and in truth in the weeks ahead, to give you all the honor and glory, to have you in the midst of us, worshiping people, finding found worshiping people delighted in the Lord, and looking forward to that glorious time to come, whenever that may be, no one knows, when you return on the clouds of glory to recreate the new heavens and the new earth with all your people gathered together. Truly, we move from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.